It's time to head out on the front porch on KFRM. Grab your favorite drink, sit back, relax, and enjoy the conversation on the front porch.
Welcome to On the Front Porch. I'm Tamara Wallace, and I'm visiting with Darris Meitler from Lucas, Kansas. Darris is a fifth-generation registered Hereford and Angus cattle rancher and co-owner, along with his brother, Clint Meitler, of Meitler Cattle Company. Throughout the years, they have stayed true to breeding maternal cattle. Nowhere can you find this line in maternal core in the Hereford breed. Meitler Cattle Company is known for their knowledge in line breeding and Bonsma trait selection. Welcome to On the Front Porch, Darris.
Hey, Tamara. Good to be with you here this morning.
Darris, let's start at the beginning. Tell us about your childhood.
Well, yeah. I grew up between Lucas and Sylvan, right on 18 Highway in north central Kansas. Our family consisted of my dad, Gene, my mom, Virginia, and I got a sister, Cresha, and a younger brother, Clint. And I guess currently we operate Meitler Cattle, and it's my brother and his family and his family, his wife, Erica. He's got three little boys, and I have wife, Stacy, and two children, and we are present-day Meitler Cattle. And just work hard every day, and I guess we had humble beginnings living there on the farm. And like most farm kids, we grew up doing farm kid things and hunting and fishing and being a part of the ranch and doing whatever we could to help Dad out.
Tell us about Meitler Cattle as a kid.
People used to ask my dad why he didn't have four-wheelers around the ranch, and he always kind of chuckled and said, I didn't need any horses. I got two boys. So we grew up being the little energetic kids running around, and you know, a bull buyer would show up, and Clint and I were knee-high to a grasshopper and would run down and sort the bull out, load him up, and I guess we didn't know any different, but sometimes people were shocked and little kids could do such things. that's all we knew. So,
what were your jobs at Meitler Cattle? Sound like you were the replacement of the four-wheeler, but what were some of your other jobs?
I mean, we helped in everything from the day-to-day activities, cutting thistle, cutting trees. I can remember being a little boy and Dad would be graining bulls, and we thought it was something. We got big enough. We couldn't carry the five-gallon buckets, but we got ice cream pails, and we could carry that gallon of grain and go do what Dad did. So, you know, we just, you know, all little boys idolized their dad, and we always tried to keep up and do that. So we were just busy kids and loved all of it. So,
sound like a good way to learn with the ice cream buckets. So,
yep.
I'm assuming, you know, with your dad, he taught you and helped you learn those jobs. Can you talk more about your dad?
Dad was a long line. He grew up in the same house we grew up in there on 18 Highway. And my grandfather was born in that house. So my great-grandfather, it was his homestead. So we got a lot of history in one spot, I guess. I don't know if we just weren't smart enough to move away, but I guess there was something that each generation learned from the next that wanted to build upon what had been done before and continue the history of. And it feels, I know we're really proud to continue that legacy of farmers and ranchers on that plot of ground. So,
Darris, tell me about high school.
In present time, Sylvan and Lucas are together, but at that time, we grew up in the 1980s there and went to high school through the 90s and attended Sylvan Grove High School there and enjoyed all the activities that went along with that. And as a young guy, I guess time goes slow, but now that I'm older, it sure goes fast. It seemed like forever waiting on Monday to get that Friday night football game underway.
But. Were you involved in activities or sports in high school?
Yeah, we, of course, did 4-H and showed cattle throughout the years and enjoyed that. We also also played all the sports, played baseball and basketball and football, and had lots of friends, and we're lucky to go through at a time when we had a lot of numbers and talented kids, and enjoyed some good state championship runs, and things look back fondly to this day, I guess.
And do you have any special memories from any activities or sports, like the state championships?
Oh, yeah, for sure. My sister had some great teams, too. So as being her younger brothers, we watched her teams, and they won some state championships. And I guess we wanted to emulate that, and we're fortunate to have some leaders above us that showed us how it was done, and the work that it took to achieve some of those goals. And yeah, the state championships great seasons and some seasons that didn't go as well, but lots of character-building moments and lots of fond memories from the history. And now that we have kids of our own, we look forward to for them having maybe the chance to do such things and have their own memories. So,
do you have any special memory? Did you show cattle in 4-H?
Yeah, we showed cattle in 4-H, and I guess it's funny how it all works out. One of my first years, I probably had the best animal I ever had. I actually had a steer that won quite a few shows and traveled to a national show in Mississippi, and he won his class. I was just, I don't know, 8 or 9 years old, and probably never had one as good as him, but was exciting for that year to travel around and show him and have some success. And like I said, still have some and plaques and stuff and lots of great memories that shared with family and dad. Of course, he enjoyed that and taught us what we knew along the way. So,
well, that's pretty amazing for your first steer. Sometimes it takes several years to get that really good one. So what did you do after high school?
After high school, each of us kids attended Fort Hays State University, which I guess was only an hour away from home, but we all played sports in college out there. My sister, Cresha, played basketball. I went out there on a baseball scholarship, and my brother played football and basketball. I guess he couldn't get enough of either one. But met lots of great people and made lots of connections in college. Had a good experience at Fort Hays and graduated from there. Just enjoyed college probably a little more than I should have sometimes, but I guess we all got to grow up eventually. So.
And did you have any special memories from being on the team out at Fort Hays State?
My sophomore year, I was on the team, probably didn't play all that much, and I don't know how much I contributed to it, but was on the team and had some great players and actually finished second in the nation in the Division II College World Series, played with some real talented guys that led that team to 56-12 season that year at Fort Hays, and we're second in the nation. So that was probably one of the bigger moments in my college career anyway.
Absolutely. That sounded very exciting. Yeah. And did you work in college?
I was mainly busy with playing baseball. It was basically a full-time job, but I did get a job as a telemarketer, believe it or not. I did that for about a year, actually traveled over to Victoria, Kansas and did that. So I got to feel what it was to be on the other end of the line when people answer and aren't so happy to talk to you. But it was a good experience and I learned lots of stuff, I guess.
I did that as well, so I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
And what did you do after college?
After college, moved home and became a part of the cattle operation, borrowed the money to buy 10 heifers from Dad, and started a small cow herd, and I guess all of a sudden I'm 20 years down the road plus of that, and enjoy it a little more all the time. So
tell us more about your kids.
I met my wife Stacy while going to Fort Hays, and we got married, and we now have two children, Jaden, our girl, she's an eighth grader, and our son Jackson, he's a sixth grader. So that's a little about us, I guess.
I'm Tamara Wallace talking with Darris Meitler from Lucas, Kansas. We have learned about his growing up. We are going to take a short break. When we come back, we will learn about the history of his cattle business, Meitler Cattle. Back on the front porch, I'm Tamara Wallace visiting with Darris Meitler from Lucas, Kansas. We have learned about his growing up. Now we are going to learn about the history of his cattle business, Meitler Cattle. Darris, tell us about how Meitler Cattle got started.
Multi-generations on the same place, and everybody, of course, over those years, revolving around agriculture and making a living off the land. My memories kind of begin with my grandpa Armin, my dad was born a little bit later in life. Dad's 14 years younger than his two siblings, so he was come along a little later in life, I guess, and so grandpa was a little older to me. He retired and moved to Ellsworth, Kansas, but still came back as an older gentleman and had good health, and got lots of memories of fixing fence with grandpa in the springtime, and he was a good Christian man and left quite an impact on my brother and I and my sister. So we got lots of fond memories of grandpa, grandpa had Herefords and helped foster my dad's passion as a young man, with growing up with cattle, and that continued on to us. And so we have lots of fond memories of the lineage before us. So.
Can you tell us about the cattle operation that your grandpa Armin Meitler ran?
Grandpa had Herefords, and back then there were so many more small farms. Every quarter section had a family and lots of kids around, so community seemed to even maybe be a bigger thing back then than now, just because of the number of people and so many neighbors so close. Grandpa had Hereford cattle and had a passion for them. My dad, Gene, always said he knew when he was 5 years old what he wanted to do with life, and that was to continue breeding Hereford cattle and if he was daydreaming, he didn't have any other hobbies. That was his work and his hobby. That's what he daydreamed about. And so Grandpa definitely fostered that into my dad.
That's good how it's ran through the generation to generation and kept going. Tell us about your dad, Gene Meitler's cattle operation.
He came back to the farm after college, and he had learned some things about line breeding cattle, and he actually came back home and started line breeding my grandpa's cattle that he had through the years, and actually by line breeding, which is kind of how line breeding works, you can propagate the good things by line breeding them, and if there are bad things, you can propagate them. My dad learned some hard lessons when he came back. He started line breeding, he actually produced some birth defects in calves. So he figured out that he needed some different genetics to begin with, so he had to kind of somewhat terminate the genetics that my grandpa had at that time. And my dad traveled up into some of the famous ranches at the time, some of those still in existence today, in the state of Montana. And my dad went up there in search of some of the best Hereford genetics he could find, and he found out quickly he couldn't afford the some of the cattle that were in those sales of the day, but he ended up purchasing some older females that had proven themselves in the ranches up there, in the famous ranches of Montana, and brought older cows down and kind of babied them and got a few heifer calves and started with new genetics at that time, and ended up maybe being a blessing because he had gotten proven genetics that were out of older cows that really worked. And it was just, I guess, the path God had made for him, but it ended up being a blessing. And those are genetics that he got in the 1970s out of Montana that we continue with today. So.
And by looking at your website, in regards to Meitler cattle, has stayed true to far as the line breeding, and you didn't go chasing fads in the industry, like something new pop up. You just stayed true to what you were doing. It was working. Is that correct?
Yes. We have stayed with the genetics and really built on those genetics and continued to line breed the ones that worked and fit the environment and continued on and keep adding the goodness back in by propagating the animals that last late into life and are a natural fit into the environment, and they kind of show themselves which ones truly work. And we've held true with those genetics and believe in them a lot. So
I also read on your website about your breeding of cattle with Bondsma's principles. Tell us what these are and how you have implemented these.
I guess in the early 1960s, my father, as a young man, made a trip to K-State in Manhattan, Kansas, to see a professor from South Africa speak. Mm-hmm. My dad had made the trip with his father, Armin, and a few other local cattlemen from the Lincoln County area. I don't know if Dad really knew how much that trip would impact him for the rest of his life. But Professor Bondsma put on a presentation that day that really shocked a lot of the people that were in attendance. He was able to preg check cows with proven accuracies of above 80% just visually looking at them. He brought cows in front of, the university did, brought cows in front of him that he had never seen before, and he was able to tell them how old they were, how many calves they had had, and if they were pregnant at the time or not, and that was all just by visually looking at them. The whole program was about quite a bit more than just that. He talked about selecting cattle that were fit for the environment, and how to visually see if they were hormonally balanced. He told the cattlemen in attendance how to select basically the overall idea by, you know, kind of going with the way nature wants to flow instead of fighting against it. I'm not sure that Dad or many of the people that were there fully understood at the time everything that Professor Jan Bondsma was saying. But it definitely planted a seed in my dad's head, and he always remembered that presentation he had seen at K-State. And then Dad later went to Kansas State University and received an animal science degree. Mm-hmm. And to answer your part about how we've used Professor Jan Bondsma's principles in our program, what we've did over the years is really tried to select cattle that do fit in their environment, and they kind of display this by not just thriving in it, but by surviving in it, but by thriving. They have extended longevity. They last a long time, and they're healthy. They're hormonally correct, and they have a lot of natural vigor within them, and These animals are successful in nature and very fertile and able to reproduce themselves easily on limited resource. All of these things can make the herd more successful and also keep ranchers profitable. And by keeping, as we know, the more profitable you are, the easier it is to stay on the ranch and to possibly hand it to the next generation. So it kind of all goes hand in hand, and that's what we strive to do is by having cattle that are successful, they can make the ranch successful too. So I guess that's a little bit about the breeding behind what we try to do at Meitler Cattle.
Darris, tell us about the visit your dad had with Brent Lonker in regards to the Bondsma.
We had known Brent throughout the years, and we actually lost Dad in 2020, actually a week or two before Dad had passed, he had reached out to Brent. Brent had inquired about coming out and making a video of Dad and asking him some about these Bondsma principles, and he had always admired Dad's breeding philosophies and cattle herd, and he actually came out, and little did we know it at the time, but captured Dad's last trip to the pasture and being out amongst his cows. So that was pretty awesome. And then I guess on a side note to that, Brent started a Facebook page that is named All Breeds Bondsma. That Facebook page was kind of put together in memory of Dad and to the legacy that Jan Bondsma had created worldwide, really. And that Facebook page has pretty much went crazy and is known nationwide. And there's, I've actually last week talked with a gentleman from Ukraine about cattle. It's mm-hmm. touched a lot of people. And there's some literature on that page and people just putting ideas and thoughts and been a really cool deal. And Brent had a lot, large part to do with that and was really neat.
Tell us the characteristics of an ideal Bondsma cow that you instill in your herd.
All these attributes that we talked about that we try to have, I guess they do have a physical presence, the things that we look for. We want the females real feminine and have some slope to the ribs, level backs and good udders, and have a high rotating shoulder on the females. In the bulls, we want kind of the opposite wedge shape. We want them with the masculine front and stand up fronted and look like a male, and those are signs of hormonal balance, and bulls are created to do different things than females, and they need to look the part to do those things. So those are a few of the small things we look for in our cattle and like them to thrive in their environment and last many years and help with rancher profitability.
And I'm Tamara Wallace, talking with Darris Meitler from Lucas, Kansas. We have learned the history of his cattle business, Meitler Cattle. On that note, we're going to take a short break, but we will be right back. We will learn about what Darris and his brother Clint are working on in their business. I'm Tamara Wallace, visiting with Darris Meitler from Lucas, Kansas. We have learned about the history of his cattle business, Meitler Cattle. Now, we are going to find out what Darris and his brother Clint are working on in their business. Darris, tell us about you and Clint's operation.
The present day, we breed, we have some registered Angus cows, registered Hereford cows, and then we have a large commercial set of cows that the black cows we breed Hereford and the Hereford cows we breed black. And we market F1 black baldy females that have been real successful for people. For years, we sold them private treaty. And then in recent times, we had enough interest that we decided to have an auction every year, a production sale in the spring. We started with that, and it's been successful and something we're trying to build on every year and look forward to and really enjoy that time of the year.
What are some of your goals for your business?
We want to we've sold, I think each year the cattle went to multiple states. So we'd like to keep broadening our customer base and get the cattle in more environments across the U.S. And, you know, currently we got bulls working from South Georgia to Kentucky and Nebraska, and we've sold heifers into Utah. So we've had got them out there, but we look forward to just meeting new people in the business and seeing what our genetics might be able to help them do and their goals.
Well, that sounds good. Sounds like you're already getting across the United States from one end to the other.
We're just like I said, it's the internet makes the world a little smaller than it once was, and it's hard to believe that can. My grandfather would have a hard time believing how easy it is to access people these days. So,
absolutely. And tell us what a typical day looks like for you.
Well, that's a good question. It changes. It changes every day, I guess, as all the ranchers out there know. You can get up with a set of plans, and next minute those are totally changed into the next thing. Of course, this time of year we're feeding cattle, and the spring herd is probably 3/4 of the way done with calving. The weather's been beautiful. We got a little moisture, so we're optimistic about the spring ahead and the green grass, and first of May turning the pairs and the mamas and their babies out on the green prairie and excited about it. So, and of course our sale's coming up, so we're excited about that. So.
And this winter has been challenging with the extreme cold temperatures we had back in January and the snow. Tell us what those days were like for you.
I know, the people in the Central Plains north of us, anyone who was calving in January were really fighting it. I guess this year it so struck before we had started calving, so it was rough, of course, getting around feeding and everything, but we were blessed this year that we didn't start calving till after that cold snap. So we did get lucky that way, and the weather's been pretty good through February and up to now. So we did maybe dodge a bullet that some didn't.
And tell us about the hay and feed you put up and your overall cattle management.
We try to graze out on range as many days of the year as we can. And then cattle are put onto residue fields of Milo corn stalks. And of course, the months of the year, we got to bring them home. Prior to calving and through calving, we feed hay that we put up. Pretty much that's what we do all summer long, is put up hay bales of prairie hay, and we plant some feed. We're not much for row crop farmers, but we spend our time in the summer putting up hay to get the cow herd through the winter, and moisture always being the key event to make all those things happen.
Tell us about your cow herd.
Yeah, the present day cow herd, like I stated earlier, the Hereford cow herd, all the genetics date back to the what we've built on from the 1970s to the present day. And we, in our sale that'll be April 13th, we'll be offering 20 bulls, also some black baldy open heifers that'll be ready to breed this spring. We'll also be selling some first calf heifer pairs. There'll be 20 of them, F1 females that'll have calf at side, and then we'll also have 50 fall bred heifers that'll be calving for 60 days starting September 1. So that's a little bit of the offering we have this year. Next year we're going to have quite a bit more in the offering as far as the bulls. We'll have over 40 bulls. So we're just trying to build every year to increase our numbers and increase the genetic value of the animals we have. And like I say, really have stressed the maternal aspect of our herd and have tried to create genetics that'll add to the genetic value of customers and producing females with beautiful udders and last a long time in life and produce great calves for them. So that's a little bit about our cow herd, I guess.
Tell us about hair shedding in cattle.
It's in the spring of the year, we have found and Jan Bonsma taught that cattle that shed early and change from the winter coat into the summer coat quickly. And of course, those are in our part of the world for spring calving cattle. They need to be getting ready for the next cycle of life, which is many times in the spring, is to get bred again. And we found that the females that shed early have higher chances of being fertile and settling on pregnancy quicker. And the quicker they can get that done and have that next calf in the pipeline ready to go, the quicker they can get them on the ground and be ready to go for the next cycle. And that's been something that we really look for. And I guess all our herd does it so quick that if one doesn't, they really stand out, that's for sure.
And how important is data to your operation?
We keep track of birth weights and weaning weights and yearling weights and not only the data, but just observation. So much can be learned from just observing cattle and the maternal mothering ability and just the natural things that that have to take place in that nature to be profitable. You know, those are things we're really observing and taking note of all the time. And if females miss the breeding cycle, they're out. You know, we don't give second chances, and those are the things that we feel keep our genetics above the rest, I guess.
And I'm Tamara Wallace, talking with Darris Meitler from Lucas, Kansas. We have learned about what Darris and his brother Clint are working on in their business. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we will learn more about the Meitler cattle sales. Back on the front porch, I'm Tamara Wallace, visiting with Darris Meitler from Lucas, Kansas. We have learned about what Darris and his brother Clint are working on in their business. Now, we are going to find out about Meitler cattle sales. Darris, tell us about the past sales you've had.
Like I had mentioned earlier, a few years ago, it started a spring production sale. The first few years, we just sold females, and then the last few, we've been offering our bulls. We have always sold bulls, but we had sold them private treaty, but now we're offering them at auction. In the spring, our sale this year will be April 13th. It'll be at the ranch near Lucas, Kansas. I guess to tie in some of the history of our place again, we had somewhat remodeled a hayloft on the ranch that has been there through all the generations, and a year ago we remodeled it enough to have our sale in the hayloft of the barn on the ranch, and that's meant a lot to us too. Just to think of great grandpa stacking hay by hand in there, and to this day holding a cattle auction there, it's pretty cool and has kind of a neat little atmosphere about it, and we're excited about the offering we have April 13th. The auction will be broadcast live on DV Auction as well, so anyone that has any interest can sure get on there ahead of time and look at the bulls videos online, and also the females. There'll be pictures and videos on there, and pedigrees of the bulls. And if anyone has a question, sure, give my brother Clint or I a call, and love to visit with you, talk you through the bulls or females and any questions you might have. That date's soon approaching, and my brother's been busy working on the sale catalog for that, and excited. We got pictures of the bulls taken the other day, so all the pieces are falling into place here, and excited about the offering we have this year.
And you mentioned in the last segment about this upcoming sale, about what you have to offer. Can you tell us again a little bit more about that?
Yeah, this year we'll be offering horned Hereford bulls, two-year-old Hereford bulls. We'll have a few F1 Black Baldy bulls, a few Angus bulls in the offering. There will also be black-white face females. There will be a package of heifers that are open heifers ready to breed this spring. Also be a set of black-white face baldy pairs. They will have February-March born calves at side. And they're really good heifers, perfect udders on them, great dispositions, ready to go to work for anyone that might be interested in them. And then the last group would be a set of fall bred heifers. They had bulls with them for 65 days. We'll start calving September 1st. And those heifers are looking really good and have been highlights in past year's sales. So we're excited, like I said, about the offering, and that's kind of what we got going on this year.
And you mentioned you took pictures of the bulls here the other day. Tell us about some of the other preparations it takes to put on a sale like this.
We've been trying to clean up the place a little bit, make it presentable. We had some lots that got a little muddy and dirty this spring, so we're getting those cleaned out. And recent years have added on a few pens to have a little better facility, so cattle are easy to look at sale day. And I think we've accomplished that and hope to have a nice crowd for the sale and maybe some producers find something that might help them out in their operation.
Tell us about your website or how people can get a hold of you.
Sure. We have a Meitler Cattle website, as well as a Meitler Cattle Facebook page. We try to somewhat keep those updated and post pictures. And, of course, with the sale coming up, we'll keep adding to that, definitely weekly, if not daily. And DV Auction will be a good resource to look at videos as well. So all those ways are good to check out what we got, and sure, don't hesitate to give us a buzz if someone has questions.
And can someone request a catalog by going on your website?
Yeah, they can. They can go on the website and request a catalog. We should be getting those printed in the coming days and hopefully get them out in the mail and let people check them out.
And do you allow people to come visit your cattle operation?
Yeah, I love to show cattle to anyone that might be passing by, or give us a call ahead of time, and we can line up a time to go through the bulls or heifers and check them out ahead of sale time. And if not, the cattle will all be pinned and displayed the night before the sale, if not a day or two before the sale, and could be gone through.
Darris, tell us about the 2018 Kansas Hereford Tour and Bondsma Seminar.
Yeah, those been a few years ago in 18. The same summer there, we had the Bondsma Seminar. Dad put on a meeting and had some guest speakers. And we didn't know we were going to lose Dad 2 years later, but those videos that were captured that day have been shared, and a lot of people have learned a lot of things about cattle selection from that day. I'm thinking maybe we had 150 to 200 people in attendance, and hope to maybe one day do that again with the help of some people, put an event together and talk cattle breeding strategies and learn from other people much smarter than me. So, yeah, that's something we'd like to do in the future.
Tamara Wallace here on the front porch talking with Darris Meitler from Lucas, Kansas. We have learned about his growing up and his Meitler cattle business. Meitler Cattle Company has stayed true to breeding maternal cattle. Darris, the legacy you're leaving for your children and their children is important to the future of the cattle industry. I have had the most pleasure speaking with Darris Meitler. Thank you, Darris, for joining us for On the Front Porch, and to all who joined our conversation.